accession number 18250, real one.
Okay, it's Saturday. Where are we, Bob? Saturday the 4th of February. And I'm talking to Bob Atkinson, whose service number is
1465-2633.
Yep, and your date of birth, Bob?
The 12th of June, 1925.
Fine, and the place of birth?
Ulverston.
Yep.
Lancashire.
Yeah, that's right. And in 1944, you were a single man.
Single man, yeah.
And June the 25th, approximately, you landed in France. But yeah. Before that, before landing in France, you were in the UK.
City born.
Yeah.
We went to J10 transit camp, yeah. Just outside New Haven.
Right. And it was New Haven that you embarked from around the 23rd, 24th of June, it would have been,
23rd,
wouldn't it?
I think it was.
23rd, yeah. But thoroughly happy to get away from this J10 camp, because that was boring.
Yeah, nothing, only training and fastened up.
And fastened up?
Fastened up, yeah.
What does that term mean, by the way, fastened up?
Well,
oh, you couldn't get out?
Enclosed, fastened in.
Yeah, couldn't get out, I see.
Fastened in.
Like a prison?
Yeah, from June the 6th.
Yeah.
June the 6th till then, you can imagine what it got like.
Now, I think you've said before that you were expecting to go on June 7th.
7th.
So why didn't you go on June 7th, Bob?
The landing craft somewhere sunk. That was booked for the takeovers, and some were damaged.
Yeah.
And they had to find alternate.
Yeah.
And we went over on the SS Longford.
Yeah.
And the rest of the brigade went on the Ben McCree, and I think the other one was Lady of Man, but it was, there were two Isle of Man boats.
Yeah. Yeah, but you didn't go at that stage with the rest of the division, because
as a brigade.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you were going over on that day, Bob, what was the trip over like? What were your feelings going over? I think you said you were pleased to get out of the camps with the boredom.
Apprehensive. Put it out.
Yeah.
Not knowing what we were going to meet when we got to the other side.
Because
we'd had very little information, only what they wanted us to know. Things were going well.
Yeah.
That's all we got to know.
Yeah.
Because we'd no radio.
Yeah. In fact, I think looking back on it, things were going better probably than they at times before June the 6th thought they might be going.
Oh, possibly.
Because
the
casualties, I think, were a bit lighter than they really
expected
in their worst days that they thought they could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. But of course, that didn't help you going over there as a young man of, I think, 19 then, weren't you?
Inexperienced.
Yeah, but everybody was, wasn't there?
Some of our lads were at Dunkirk, where they'd been a regular battalion.
Yeah.
Some of them lads had been at Dunkirk, so they had seen a bit of action.
That's right.
Our officers, Griffin, and I would say all our company commanders.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our CO, he was a First World War officer, one of the older ones that were allowed to go over.
Was the CO then was Burden?
Burden, he was a good CO.
Burden was the guy that wrote the history, was he?
Yes, the history
of the battalion. Yeah. And you had a fairly calm trip over it, wasn't it?
Well, reasonable. It wasn't calm, but it was reasonable, if you know what I mean.
You weren't seasick at all?
No.
And there weren't many people seasick on there,
right? There
were a few. One or two, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And when you actually got to the other side at Courseulles, I think you went to.
Somewhere.
Courseulles, which was on Gold Beach, Juno Beach, where are we? On Juno Beach.
Yeah.
Curacao, which was really a Canadian area, Canadian landing area, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you got there, I think you told me before about the problems with getting off the boat.
Yeah.
What were the problems, Bob?
Well, coming down the scrambling net, we'd been trained for the scrambling net, but it was fixed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't fixed on the boat, only at the top.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was at the bottom, it was swaying, and it was rough. That day was rougher, a lot rougher than the crossing had been.
What time of the day did you get there? Do you remember?
Couldn't actually, be daylight, that's all.
It was daylight, it wasn't daylight.
I couldn't actually tell you what time.
Right.
But we got inland after landing.
Yeah.
As I say, we come off and matched. We settled down before it was dark, so I would say perhaps this afternoon.
Yeah. When you actually, so you having done that and got off the boats and difficult sort of situation getting off the boat, I think you said there was nobody injured, really badly injured or killed there getting off the boat.
Not as bad as I know.
But it sounded quite traumatic the way you had to get off and onto a little boat below.
Yeah. It only held one platoon, about 40 men.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the open one with the open top.
Mm.
You had to go down the steps to go inside.
Oh, right.
You only had two hatches.
Right,
So you landed on a flat deck.
Yeah.
If you can call it flat.
Yeah.
And then you went down a hole.
Yeah, yeah.
Down some steps underneath.
Right.
It wasn't one of the drop front ones.
Right, I know.
It was infantry, landing craft, not an assault.
Right, okay. They used to call them LCIs, didn't they?
LCI, that was it. Landing, it was only the small one. There was the small LCI, and there were the mediums, and there were large.
Yeah.
I was with the small one.
Right.
And so I don't know what would happen if it went down with all of them.
Yes, right.
Because there was only room for one get out at hatch at a time.
Yeah. But there was no firing at that time because, you know, this was...
Yeah, well, yes, I don't know whether it was the Revenge or War Spy, there was one of them firing into town.
Yeah.
There with
the big Navy shells.
15-inch guns.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was noisy.
Oh,
so
that was noisy, yeah.
And then, so you've got a short trip, presumably, from when the Longford puts you onto the LCR.
Yeah.
You've got a little trip into the beach, a little run-in.
Yeah.
It's daytime. And I suppose there's lots of soldiers around and lots of equipment
around. The beach group were unloading. There was these fellows with armbands on, and they were... But what officers had said to them were just pointing, you know, directions.
Yes.
We went up the beach.
Yeah.
And went to... I think it was an assembly earlier.
Yeah.
A couple of miles inland.
Yeah, I think the book says that you went to a place called Benny-Sur-Mer.
Could be.
Benny-Sur-Mer, which was where it's a place now where the Canadians have their cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you went to initially, was Benny-Sur-Mer, which was only probably 2 or 3 miles possibly inland,
was,
I would guess.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't so far.
Yeah.
I know the D Company. They took their bikes across and they left them.
Right.
And they were told that after they got off the beaches, they were just told to dump them.
Where on the beaches they left?
Well, after we got off the beaches.
After you got off the beaches, yeah.
Yeah, to dump them.
Yeah. Oh, so just after the war then, there were probably lots of French people riding around on rally bikes. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. The army bikes.
But so that takes us down to, you're now about the 25th to the 6th. It's the same day.
Yeah.
So you got down to Benny-Sur-Mer on the same day.
Yeah.
I guess then you were held there for a day or two because the
at
next
day... At least one day. Because, we used our own rations up.
Yeah.
You know, the 2 24-hour packs.
Yeah, that's right. They gave you those for the...
Well, we used them on the tummy cooker.
Yeah.
Which were...
Because around that time, we're now talking about the 26th of June or something, but there was an awful lot of action going around the Caen sort of area, wasn't there?
We went in support of the Canadians when they went into an attack. Can't tell you the date, but... Right when the big bombing raid was on.
On Caen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd been in, it was before that, we'd been in support of them.
Yeah.
But they called a firm base, we moved up well and took over their positions while they went into the attack.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was unsuccessful. Hello, dear.
Yeah, so it was Canadians, yeah?
Yeah.
So it's about Canadians.
Well, firm base, they called it. We took over theirs, and it was in case any disasters happened and Germans counterattacked, there was somebody solidly dug in.
Got it, yeah.
So, you know, all the lads weren't on top of ground.
Yes, that's right.
What they called a firm base.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, so, you know, the full brigade for cops where the division had been, so.
Yeah.
Your 3,000 odd men ready if the Judies counterattacked before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Canadian, it wasn't successful. They had to come back.
Right.
This
was around the time of the, you say, of the bombing on Caen.
Yeah, before the bombing.
That. Just before that.
That was somewhere about that went bombing raid was on.
Yeah, right.
Can't just remember exactly the date.
Yeah.
But then I remember at the time, it was over Sunday, and Irving Andrews from the 5th Battalion, who got the VC at Dunkirk, on the Escaut Canal actually.
Yeah.
And he come over to see Major Griffin and one or two of the regulars that had been at Dunkirk. But he was a 5th Battalion man and he was moved to the 5th.
Right.
So that's how I know it was somewhere in July. Sunday time.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, the first, correct me if I'm wrong, but the first real action that you saw around that time, I guess, was around this Hill 112 area.
Yeah, just before that.
Which would have been around, I suppose, about something like the middle of July time.
Well, yeah, we had a couple of little do's before that.
Well, any that you can recall before then?
Well, we went into a little attack. There was a house, Pepper Pot House, they called it.
What, prior to Hill 112?
Oh, yeah. And in the morning, you used to see this smoke coming out of a chimney, and then it used to stop, and they thought the Germans were using it as observation post.
Yeah.
And A Company, I don't know, it was A and D, couple went into the attack. Quiet, silent attack, no artillery.
Mm.
And it was two old ladies.
Oh.
And they didn't keep the fire on at day because Germans used to shell, or our lot used to shell.
Yeah.
So they used to do the cooking at night.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Put the fire out at day, and somebody spotted the smoke. That's all there was in two old ladies.
Well, I reckon they could have been more terrifying than some of the Germans or something at times, Bob, couldn't they?
Well, definitely. Yeah.
But that's something else I was, before we start talking about Hill 112, that's something else I was going to mention to you. The reaction of the French people when you went, I mean, this is the first time you've been anywhere out of the UK, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
What was the reaction through the way down to Hill 112 from the French people? Very couldn't care less, or they'd seen it all before, or what?
No, they seemed to bother more about all the cows and that been killed than anything else.
Right. Yeah.
They weren't jubilant.
No.
Not jubilant at all.
No.
These people around the beach area, I think myself, they could have been on a good thing.
Yeah.
Supplying the Germans with
their farm produce.
With farm, but they didn't seem to be as jubilant as what the people farther inland were.
That's right. Well, that's what I imagined So you've gone through this Pepper Pot house, and these two old ladies have hit you over the heads with their handbags. So you've gone through there, and then eventually you get into this area. In fact, just to the west of Hill 112.
Yeah, we put there was two or three little attacks.
Yeah.
And then Hill 112, there was a lot of casualties. There was quite a lot tried to take it, and they couldn't take it. You could only get so far up.
Yeah.
You know, it's but to take high ground.
Yeah, yeah.
They're just knocking you down as you come.
Yeah. The importance of that area was the hill itself, because it was...
Well, it was dominating over Cairn.
Yeah.
When you got onto the top.
Yeah.
Of there.
Yeah.
And as I say, you can't really... You can't say much about it. When we did when Germans eventually withdrew, we were prodding from mines.
Yeah.
With a bayonet.
Mm. Yeah.
Putting cones over and then, you know, it was an attack went in and they didn't bring the engineers up or out. We prodded for our own mines and put cones on the top and we moved forward.
Yeah.
And when we got up on the top, they'd withdrawn.
There must have been lots of signs of battles around there, because there was a lot of tank action around there, wasn't there?
There were a lot of there were men, infantry, just on 112.
Yeah.
Was farther over on Dorn.
Right.
Where there was a big tank battle.
Right.
But on there were juries laying all over. Our trench, within 3 yards in front, there was two or three English lads buried.
Yeah.
You couldn't get them down deep.
Yeah, so that must have
been rock.
But that must have been a shock to you and a lot of people at that time, see? Mm. Because that would have been, I guess, the first time you would have seen those severe signs of battle, wouldn't they?
No, I think before...
You did see a bit
before. I think before that, we took over up... Scottish Borders. And then I don't know what it was, in third day.
Yeah.
Cosby's, we took over. And the roads were lined with them.
Right.
And we took over the dad knocking about.
Yeah.
And I think they were in the third day with that lot.
Mm.
And there's German snipers banging out of trees. They used to tie themselves in trees. French I dug in, they got a bloke's tin hat full of half a head in it. And then got his gas cap and there's the other half of his body in it nearly. And but we had to stop there.
Yes. I mean, I guess some...
We didn't actually... That wasn't an attack. That was a relieving. We did one or two relieving operations like that before we went into a big attack.
That's right.
But you had to hold your ground at night and when they attacked, you know, it was mainly a bit static.
But I suppose you had to take all that in your stride, really, didn't you?
Yeah.
Because you couldn't let it worry you. If you let it worry you, you'd have problems.
Some of them did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in this... Hill 112 situation. You were telling me once about a story that you got involved in there in a field of corn or something.
Yeah, on a patrol.
Yeah. So what was the story about?
12 of us.
Yeah.
Captain Lidcock. There was a tank on top of the hill. They wanted to know whether it was being used as an observation post. Because if there was any movement at all, we used to get shelled in daylight. As soon as they could see, we went out at night. There was 12, I was on Wren. And we went up, and Wren covering the open flank. And I half fell into a communication trench. And you could just see under the tank from there. This communication trench led from perhaps their HQ, I don't know.
Was this daytime or nighttime?
Night patrol.
Yeah.
And you could see them cigarettes. Big giveaway at night.
Yeah.
They were smoking and gobbling. And they were underneath the tank. Then I got the officer without speech. No speaking on the patrols with
sign language,
tapping your mates.
Yeah.
And he come and pointed to him where they were. And he come, had a look, and said, right, we'll move back. And him and myself, he instructed me to stop back. Well, the rest of the patrol got 100. 150 yards down the hill, and then we joined them, and we did that till we got back to the company HQ. And after we got back, about half an hour later, our artillery knocked hell out at tank. They didn't destroy it, but they give them a good rousing.
Yeah, right.
And they
right.
used to do it at daytime after that. Every so often,
yeah.
the artillery used to fire this tank.
Yeah.
I would say, I don't know, but it was a panther or a tiger. It was one of the big tanks.
Yeah,
it
right.
had been knocked out. And that's too far damage for them to reclaim it.
Yeah, sure.
So
they
used it as a OP.
And that was right on the top of this hill, 112?
I would say as near on the top as possible.
Perhaps
not right on the top, but to the good view of our all our positions.
Yeah, yeah. And you got some sort of a distinction for this, didn't you?
Yeah, Montgomery certificate.
Montgomery certificate,
for gallantry.
Yeah.
Leacock got the same, the captain.
Yeah.
Got the same.
But fortunately there weren't anybody hurt or injured during that
No.
You all went there and you all got back all right.
There were a few got frightened.
Well, yeah. I mean, but that's a normal feeling, Bob, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, just the things happen. There's a lot of dead laying about. And you could be down on your own chin if you move back too far and you put any pressure on the body behind you, you'd hear them back and jump.
Yeah. All right, so that was really, as far as I know, the first serious area of action. You know, you said there were one or two.
We had the first serious
sort of time of action. Yeah.
Yeah.
And eventually the Germans in that area were defeated, and you moved on.
Okay.
Right, Bob. So after 112, you were making your way down toward the sort of general area of Thalia.
Yeah.
That's where eventually the Germans were in a pocket there, weren't they? The Americans coming up from the after the breakout and coming up from the south, and they were blocked in there.
From the Schoenberg.
That's right. But you were coming down from Hill 112, and you went through various places.
Yeah.
But one of the places that the book talks about is a place called Bois Halibut.
Yeah.
Or Boiled Halibut, as they called it in the book.
Boiled Halibut.
Any thoughts about that place, Bob?
Yeah. we were going in with Churchill tanks. There were only 6-pounders on, but there were heavy armour, infantry support. And I think, if my memory carried me right, there were they'd been the old King's Own that were one of the King's Own territory battalions that was put into the armoured corps.
Yeah.
So they had the silver lion on.
Yeah.
The cap badge.
Yeah.
And we moved down and met up with them, and we formed up to go down a steep, it was like cross fields, but they were going down to the village. And they got so far down and the tank met mines. Well, that finished them, so we had to go in without them. We went in and had a bit of a fighting. Machine guns and that, and overcoming them, we got into the village. We get down, coming down one of the roads, I couldn't say which, and on the bottom there was a Tiger tank.
Yeah.
At the bottom.
Yeah.
And the sergeant major was
By that time, Bob, you had no tanks with you at all.
We had no tanks. No, the tanks were held up.
Yeah.
With mines.
Yeah.
I think one had lost the track, and
well,
that was fatal.
Yeah.
And we'd no armoured support.
Yeah.
And they shouted for the Piats.
Yep.
And the Piats were on the carrier, which they were no good on there because carriers weren't with us.
Right.
So we'd nothing to fight them with.
So what'd you have to do about the tank then?
Well, they just fired at fella looking out at top. Well, they put that button down and turn around and let go with a few 75, 88 millimetres, whatever the tank was carrying.
Yeah.
And I think that was a 100 tiger, and it was a panther.
Panther, yeah.
Anyway, they moved, and we went further down the village to a cross, well, another crossroad.
Yeah.
And we dug in there and ate the tomb, dug in further down, covering the road from another action.
Yeah.
We've stopped.
Oh, no, it's still going. Yep.
further down to cover another part of the road, and I don't know whether it was two or three tiger tanks.
Yeah.
Come up the road and knock hell out of them.
Yeah.
I think there was about 20 odd out of about 36.
Yeah.
Killed and wounded. That was, I think it was 8 platoon. They got knocked about.
That would have been, that 8 platoon would have been in A Company, was it?
Oh, A Company, seven, eight, and nine was A Company.
Yeah.
And it was one of our platoons, it was either 8 or 9. Yeah. I was in 7, it definitely wasn't 7.
Yeah.
We got a bit of flak off them, like, but when the Spandau or whatever it was they carried on the tank, we got a bit of that.
Mm.
But I'm not just sure, but I think the typhoons were called it.
Oh yeah, because there was a lot of that around Sally.
I think there was some aircraft coming over,
yeah.
And whether they got the wind up of them, but they pulled back.
Yeah.
They pulled back, did the tanks.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah.
The tanks, there was an attack going in somewhere else. You see, I don't know, and they might have to go and support that.
Yeah.
It stopped us.
Yeah, because you were in White Valley Boot for about 3 days.
We'd taken it, yes, yeah.
So you'd taken it, the tanks had cleared back, because I guess the Germans then were just retreating back towards this way, weren't they? Back towards Calais.
Well, they were covered in for layers, weren't they?
Yeah.
Because it was a main junction.
Yeah, yeah.
I know we were, when you were going into the building, if you got into the outbuilding, you were hooked at knees inside you.
Right, right.
It was shooting out to these big barrels.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And it was hot weather, so Piala come out and went under the barrel where shrapnel was.
Yeah.
So you used to have a drink.
Yeah. So that's where you got your taste for cider, was it, Bob?
Yeah.
In Normandy.
Yeah, Normandy, yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty rough.
Yeah.
I think it was only about half fermented.
Yeah.
Very sour, but it quenched your thirst.
Yeah, that's right.
That was what mattered.
And of course then... And they
we only had a water bottle. We only carried a water bottle full of water.
Yeah.
Quarter water didn't do good so far.
Yeah. And then when we're talking about August, so it was hot anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, so it was.
Summertime.
It was real hot.
Yeah.
There used to be notices up.
Yeah.
Drive slowly. Dust brings shells.
Oh, that's
you know,
right,
all,
yes.
All the ground,
that.
All
yeah,
the
yeah.
ground,
yeah.
wherever you went.
Mm.
If you weren't on the Tarmacadam Road, because a lot of... roads were across fields, you know, they were what had been made.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was one of the big problems, wasn't it, with as far as infantry and you were concerned, was the shelling.
The shelling and mortaring.
And mortaring, yeah.
Mortaring with no protection at all, you say, for that.
Yeah.
We never got much with aircraft.
Yeah.
Only the aircraft we got bothered with were shanks.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there was a story. I'm not sure where it was.
That was on 112.
112, yeah.
112, we had the dough. These lightnings, I think they were. They were young, I think it was Lockheed Lightning.
Yeah.
Come down, there was about 6 of them.
Yeah.
Come and they strapped, and we threw our smoke.
Yellow smoke.
Orange smoke.
Orange smoke,
And they took no notice of it, so... I, for one, had to go with brain gun at them.
Yeah.
And told where long line had to go with brain gun.
Yeah.
One of them was brought down and they never bothered us again.
Yeah.
I don't know who.
But they were low enough for you to do some damage to.
Oh, yeah, they were strapping.
Oh, yeah.
They dropped bombs first.
Yeah, yeah.
These 50-pounders or whatever they were.
Yeah.
And then they come down with cannon.
Right.
We only have a protection. We either get down in the bottom of the trench or have a go with brain while you got fed up.
Yeah, that's right.
I had to go with Brennan. I wasn't the only one. Chattered up way along the line, did Brennan.
That never happened. You say that was Americans at that stage, at that point, but that never happened with the RAF, because the RAF were there a lot in
Normandy. We never, up in Holland, we once or twice. We,
yeah, later on.
But as soon as smoke went out, they moved.
Yeah.
We never fired it. Any of our aircraft.
If they
took notice of our actions.
Okay, Bob. So we've left Ouarzazu now on around the 15th of the 8th. You're advancing down toward Falaise, and you get to a place called Leffard around the 15th of August. And I think there's some action around there that you can remember about.
We were what we call leapfrogging. Battalions going to a battalion. Battalion would take its position, maybe a map reference, maybe a village. And the next battalion would go through it. So you were working in depth.